This is The Day I Shot Cupid by Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Copyright 2010, Love Songs Incorporated. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Hyperion Books and was produced in the year 2010 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto.
Preface. Okay, so why did I, an actress in her 30s, decide to write a book on dating? Well, leave it to Cabo Wabo. I had a massive broken heart, so I hopped on the plane with my mom, aunt, and a bunch of friends. We found ourselves at this beautiful home overlooking the ocean and, like most meetings of the female brain, talking about men. I was so intrigued. I mean, the age groups, types of women, and lifestyles were also different, but the message and moments, the same. Dating is hilarious and awkward as hell. Relationships are difficult, beautiful, and confusing. And love is somehow worth it all. It was like the pen and paper had to be used at that moment. So, I took all the things we were talking about and started writing. Of course, I added my own funny comments to them because if you can't laugh, you won't make it. At dinner that night, I presented my romance thought pages to the table, hoping to ease any past pain, laugh about the hours of life lost on bad dates, and show that we were all the same. They loved it. The tequila helped. As I wrote them, healing began for me as well. At the end of our great trip, I went home with a new thought. What if this is why I went through all my dating crap? Maybe I'm supposed to be the kindred spirit of millions of women out there who are just like me. And there it was. The new relationship that I would begin would be with me. My past, my present, my laughter, my pain, and most important of all, you. Introduction. This, for me, is the perfect place to start. Although I was actually born on February 21st, there was a chance that I would come 1 week earlier on February 14th. That's right, Valentine's Day. I refused to believe until I was 10 or 11 years old that Valentine's Day was not actually created for me. Why? Because my name is Love. My mom named me Love and almost gave birth to me on Valentine's Day. Hello? I was born to be a hopeless romantic. It's worked well for me so far, or so I thought. And that brings us to now. Now, this is the most eye-opening and slightly depressing part of the book, so let's just get it over with. What I am about to tell you will include shocking details, lies, and murder. Continue to read at your own risk. Okay, here it goes. On a cold day, with a little rain falling on the windows, who am I, Agatha Christie? In the most gorgeous light of the afternoon, I sat at my computer, wondering what I could say today that would have some real value to those of you kind enough to read this book. I decided to turn to my faithful friend Cupid for some help. You know, Cupid, said with a little kid voice. Cute little guy, kind of like a little baby and a man, all in one. The little man in the diaper who finds his true love, shoots our dream man with an arrow, brings him to us, plays the violin, and helps us live happily ever after. That Cupid. I'm back in my own voice now. What I found next would forever change me. What the hell to my Googling Cupid eyes should appear but the truth? Cupid was actually a scorned lover, a person so hurt that he made poison arrows to shoot at people that would hopefully destroy their chance for love, because misery loves the company of a tiny man in diapers. He was an evil little shit, not a cute baby with magic arrows waiting to point our perfect companion and bring us love's every happiness. Lock your doors. Cupid is not a good guy. Suddenly, my love life flashed before my eyes. All the Valentine's days, the arrows that I shot in my mind toward the dream guy in front of me, the hours I spent thinking Cupid would make it better, and for what? He was just as depressed and hurt as I was, and P.S., he didn't want to use his powers for good. You know, it begs a thought. We saw a little man in a diaper shooting arrows and thought that that meant true love? After an hour of seriously doubting my stock in Hallmark, I knew exactly what I had to do. I had to shoot Cupid. I had to believe in my mind that there could be a romance without him. Maybe not the kind with symphonies and floating hearts, although that kind stabbed me in the back more than a few times, but something I could create with another person that would be all our own. Romantic comedies are there to give us dreams and butterflies, but what we can create in our own lives could not only be better, but real. So I did it. I shot him. This would always be the day I shot Cupid. I let my mind kill all its previous romantic ideas and believed that what would come next would be greater. As I write this, I'm only 2 weeks into this transformation. I'm not going to lie, I've had a few everything is changing panic attacks, but I also feel like I'm on the brink of real growth. I ask myself now what romance really is to me, what a man needs to do and what I would want to do for him. I'm learning, and not depressed by the way, how to create my own fireworks in rapid heartbeat. I'm suddenly not as let down by everyday romantic screw-ups because the only thing to live up to is organic from within, not a list of do's and don'ts given to me by romantic icons who aren't real. Now, at first glance, you may be thinking jaded, bitter, hurt too much. But let's change those thoughts to something more productive, like strong, realistic, and grown up. Let's never again rely on someone or some myth to bring us happiness or love. Let's try it ourselves. Let's make our own paths and believe that what the universe has for us is perfect. Let's go out and find the love we always wanted, but this time, with our feet planted on the ground, our inner sparkle is the arrows and the belief that love does happen for all of us. By the way, if you see a man in diapers, keep walking. It was important for me to tell my views of men and women so that you know I take no sides. I really do think both sexes are completely nuts and beautiful. We will always need and want each other. It's just all about communication, understanding, and, oh yeah, knowing when to say you're sorry, even when you're right. Let's talk men, women, and where we are. A kiss is a lovely trick designed by nature to stop speech when words become superfluous. Ingrid Bergman. Serial dater. And not Cocoa Puffs. Serial dater. It's like a bad kick me sign on my back. It's not a cute little nickname my girlfriends gave me for laughs. It's a nickname given to me at least 1,000 times in major magazines, television shows, and articles that are supposed to be talking about my work. And oh yeah, the people who said it don't know me. I can't even tell you how many times I've been reading an article, happy with what they've written, focusing on all the right things, and then like the clap, it appears, serial dater. A term I have come to be permanently perplexed by. What does it mean? That I date men and then I kill them? I mean, yes, I've dated a lot. Not on purpose, by the way. I would have loved to have met my soulmate in fourth grade and never looked back. Not my fate, obviously. So I have dated. Not any different from anyone else, except my entire dating history has been documented by the press. So I ask only this. Please, wipe serial dater off the books. And think of me as a girl who is looking for love, just like you. Balls, a dress, or a dress that hides our balls. I will never forget the time a guy I was seeing told me to leave my balls at home before our date. I didn't understand what he meant. When he explained it, it made perfect sense. I was trying to control our dates like business meetings, moving too fast as if I had an agenda to get through and couldn't talk about anything else but work. Okay, I still had a lot of growing up to do. It's true. During the day, for my career, business, and personal strength, in essence, I strap a pair on his armor. But then at night, I want to be soft, girly, and taken care of. Although I understood what he meant, I was insulted. I mean, why can't there be four balls in a relationship and two of them be mine? Then, after the silent treatment and kicking him 1,000 times in my mind in a movie, I realized something. My theoretical balls were taking away his chance to be the guy. He wanted to step up and let me be the girl I so wanted to be, but my balls were blocking the way. I had to be willing to be the softer, not-so-feisty version of myself to get what he and I both wanted. Ah, such a nice thought. For about a week. Question. Why can't we be strong, self-assured, tough, sometimes even scrappy, and still be treated like a girl? Or why don't we choose the men who will let us be that? Which brought me to my next big question. What do we want? The balls, the dress, or the dress that hides our balls? To be honest, I still go back and forth. Every time I watch an old movie, I want to be the damsel in distress in a dress. Think King Kong and Jessica Lange. Every time I watch a Julia Roberts movie, I want the dress and balls. Oh yeah, I'm talking about Pretty Woman. And every time I watch Oprah, I just want a big pair. You know, sometimes I'm great at being a girl, and other times I find myself playing his part and mine. But I'm making a decision. Right here and now, I think hiding all that power under a knockout Miu Miu sundress is the way to go. What we forget is every one of us is great just because of who we are. If you feel strong, you'll be strong. We have curves that make even the greatest designer's clothes look better, even though they usually show them on sticks. When our hair blows the right way in the wind, we can stop traffic. We glow when they sweat. We can do 150 things at once and, oh yeah, bleed every month. And on our best day, we are the one thing that can leave a man speechless. So, be strong. Have personal power, good God, roar if you have to. But a couple of nights a week, try letting it all be your undergarment. And on top, put a dress, perfume, some sparkle powder, and a little willingness to let him lead. You come to love not by finding the perfect person, but by seeing an imperfect person perfectly. Sam Keen. Macho, metro, or hero? And then there were three. Types, that is. The macho man. He plays a lot of sports. Worships his guy friends, loves beer, and is always planning an adventure that has you dangling from ropes. He will never be as sensitive as you want. He's the brawny guy, super strong. He makes you feel protected. He has strong lips and makes you remember the guys you dreamt of when you were eight. The metrosexual. Oh, dear God. He's the one guy none of us ever pictured. Metrosexual? What does that even mean? I mean, who knew it would be okay for your boyfriend to have as many hair products as you, order Diet Coke while you order regular, spend more than you do on the finest fabrics, and take all your tissues at the hot romantic comedy? They are sensitive, aware of their feelings, and fulfill the more yin-yang needs in your relationship. They can also be one parking spot over from your gay best friend. The hero. He's a gentleman who opens your door and knows the importance of a flower. He's not afraid to let you see him cry, plans dates for you when you least expect it, still believes in a good love letter, can admit when he has watched you sleep, and dresses up for you so you feel like the luckiest girl in the room. He wants to understand what romance means to you and makes it happen. He lets you be strong and loves you when you are weak. He's the one you wait for and think you will never find. And sometimes, sadly, he is the one in front of you who we miss. The good news is none of these are bad choices. The bad news is we kind of want parts of all three. So how do we get that? If I knew, I would be the eighth wonder of the world. Maybe for now, we should open our minds, let down our defenses, and try to see it from their side. Women are very complicated. And I say this part carefully. Maybe it's not always the guy's fault. There is someone out there for all of us. I really do believe that. But instead of looking for perfection, look for happiness. Because remember, as women, we can also get it wrong. And our so-called perfect mirror can be turned on us at any moment, and oh God, we do not want to see that. Let's look at each other with love and respect and find the one who is right for us, not the one who's perfect. Dumbfounded genitals, or who took my mojo? Just when we think guys don't think of us, they do. Except it's not how wonderful or complex we are. They think, what did I do now? Or will I ever make her happy? Kind of sweet, right? Or are they just lost and ready to give up? I've talked to some guys, and until the girl figures out her woman, the boy can't figure out his man. Old school versus new school seems to be their biggest complaint. Old school phone call. When a guy asked for your phone number and just couldn't wait until the next day to call, he was peachy, dreamy, so cute. If a guy asked for your number and waited to call, he was shy or respectful. You would sweat with excitement and anticipation. New school phone call. If a guy calls the next day, he's desperate, hard up, or a stalker. If he waits a while to call, he's a playa, man-whoring himself out to skanks, or he's just not that into you. P.S. Now that I know he's just not that into me, where do I go from there? Yeah. Thanks for that advice. Old school dinner. A woman would maybe offer to go Dutch for dinner. That means each pays half. But most of the time, she would never even think of paying and would be grateful that a nice young man had treated her to dinner. New school dinner. If a guy suggests going Dutch, he's a moocher. Broke, using you, and probably won't get to date number two. If he pays sometimes, you thank him. But other times, it's why? You don't think I can pay for dinner? I have a job. I'm not your little woman. Old school romance. If a guy was a romantic or made a fool of himself for love, he was husband material, well-raised, and the one you'd been looking for. New school romance. If a guy is romantic or makes a fool of himself for love, it's, did you cheat on me? Is that why you're being so nice? Are you gay? Are you a stalker? Or, I know, you just want my pants. Now, although these examples are extreme and do not represent all women, they do happen, and we do seem that crazy to guys. So maybe we should just step back and think for a minute. Have we gone too far? Is it necessary to fight so hard when it comes to love? Are we so used to fighting for our position as women that we don't even know when to quit? And here's the big one. Are we risking our chance at being the girl? Guys are lost and need our help. We have to decide what we want and how we want it in order for them to give it to us. We have to be clear and decisive. Some of us may have to look up the definitions of clear and decisive. So here's something to try. Before you go out with them next time, make a decision about who you are as a woman in love. Do you want to be the girl? Do you want to be the boss, or do you want to be his equal? Remember that whole dress that hides our balls thing? And you also have to decide if you want a man who's trying to please you, a man who is scared, or a man who is being himself. Once you decide, stick to it. Show him in words or actions your choice what kind of man your woman needs. If you want to be the girl, then fight hard all day. Be a pit bull, whatever, but when he picks you up or gets home, melt into his arms. Make him think he can take care of everything. Show him Hugh Grant movies, you know, so he can learn some modern-day romance moves. Let him open the door. Let him be himself. Don't be weak, but let him be the hero. He might just become the man you want. If you want to be the boss, then go out and find someone who's confident enough in himself to handle your strong woman. Let him know that sometimes you want to call the shots, and don't complain if he lets you. It's your world, little Miss Bossy. He just lives in it. If you want to be his equal, then explain it to him. You want romance, but you don't want to lose your power. You want to pay for dinner sometimes, but you also want him to surprise you. You don't want him to do things for you. You want him to do things with you. I'm not saying this will cure all in the dating world, but if men and women would tell each other some of the things they tell their friends, it would be more honest and maybe more of the relationship we're looking for. Don't get me wrong. Some guys, and some women for that matter, will just never get it. But some, with a little help, just might. I think life and love can be what you make them. Figure out what you want out of life and love and go get it. If your guy or girl doesn't fit those things, then find someone who will. We can no longer assume men know what we want. They don't. So instead of fighting only for ourselves, maybe love is fighting for each other. And maybe real love is something we shouldn't have to fight so damn hard for. Philosed and tossed. It's 9:45 and I'm getting dressed for my day. But it's different now. I'm stressed about my G-string. I think about putting my granny panties on. Sorry, grandma. Saved only for laundry day. And then something comes over me. As Cisco's thong song plays on the radio behind me, I start to think about the young girls at Rancho Bernardo High, April 26, 2002. They were asked to lift their dresses before they entered the dance. The principal at the high school asked the girls who arrived at the dance what kind of undies they were wearing. The female counselor lined up the girls against the wall and did an undie check. One of the girls said, "We were in front of the entire class, the counselor, assistant principal, and two campus cops. If the girls had a thong, they were turned away." Question: where did those school officials buy their crack? I mean, what do they think they're protecting? Talk about missing the forest for the trees. Fact: price of a cheap G-string, $8. Price of an expensive G-string, $100. A young girl's dignity? Priceless. Bottom line, there is nothing redeeming in this story. School dances used to be first kisses and the running man. Now it's gang shootings and panty checks? It's something to think about. No boys were checked for boxers or briefs. Still in my closet with Cisco, I declare today G-string day. To the young girls at Rancho Bernardo High, I am so sorry you had to deal with such humiliation. And to the school officials, don't knock a G-string until you try one. I want you to know you're not alone. I've experienced, laughed at, cried about, and had done to me all the things you're about to read. I loved dating and hated it. I have known great men and not so great men. But the trenches of dating have taught me what I want and don't want, who I am and who I want to be. We must all go through it, and without it, what we talk about over cocktails. The things we are faced with while dating and in relationships. The hookups, the big ups, and the big downs. In real love, you want the other person's good. In romantic love, you want the other person. Margaret Anderson. The stages are set. The eye contact, the flirt. The first drink, the text. The first date, the first D&M, deep and meaningful. The great sex, the boyfriend-girlfriend, the spoon. The real personality, the toiletry kit, the parents, the denial, the are we are, the ring, the engaged. The eye contact. This is the first moment. For women, it's where the sun shines, the clouds part, butterflies start to flutter, and there's a small chance that your entire future might start tonight. For men, I've been told, it's the first thing they notice. It's called putting it out there. Your eyes say it all. Hello. I'm going home with you, or you're going home with me. I'm the one you want, so stop looking. Sometimes the eyes just say, let's dance, or buy me a drink. Or they can say the unfortunate, I'm terrified. Oh God, he doesn't know I'm looking at the guy behind him. Be very cautious, ladies, when you give that first look. It tells what kind of girl you are and what kind of girl you want to be. Whether you go classic or smoky, the eyes are the windows to the soul, so work it. The flirt. The next step is where boys become men. Is your father a thief because he stole the stars and put them in your eyes? Is not what we want to hear. Or my favorite, and the night I will never forget, when I dressed up, waited all night for a guy to talk to me, and got that guy. He asked me if I was Irish because his penis was Dublin. I didn't date or go out for 5 months after that. If those are my choices, I'm good for now. The flirt is as important as the first night of sex because it tells whether or not you will even be able to give us the first night of sex. You have to be smooth, but not slick, warm, but not aggressive, interesting, but not pompous, and humor is always the key. Just talk to us. No tricks, all personality. And oh yeah, don't be seen talking to every girl in the bar before us. If they didn't want it, we don't either. The first drink. This drink can tell you a lot. If he has 8, a bad sign. If he has a Cosmo and you have a Scotch, it could also be a bad sign. If he gets angry with alcohol, really bad sign. But if he can give great conversation, gets fun or sexy with alcohol, wants to tell you how beautiful you are and it's effortless, congrats. You are moving on to the next drink and the next step. The text. This is just fun. You can say whatever you want and put it all out there. He can make your heart race with 4 smileys and the right words, but beware. Don't let it go too far or for too long. Be coy and move him quickly to some face-to-face time. The first date. The eye contact, the flirt, the first drink, and the text all got you right here. Both of you in your best outfits, trying not only to impress, but be impressed. You're telling all of your best stories. He's showing all of his best traits. The wine is amazing. The lighting, perfect. The food, who cares? And his eyes are even more beautiful than you remembered. If it all goes perfectly, he will call you tomorrow, and you will wake your girlfriends up tonight with details when you get home. The first D&M, deep and meaningful. This is a very important conversation. Not for the reasons you may think. It's because women make a mistake in the first D&M, and believe me, they pay for it later. We are so willing to give ourselves over to love and the good feelings that come with it that our ears fail us. We shut off every clue men give us to who they really are, and instead plug into those spaces who we want them to be and what we thought they said. Really, I can't express this enough. Listen to what they say. Everything. It's telling you who you will be in a relationship within 6 months. That's a lot of time you could save. The great sex. Oh God, this gets us every time. The first time. Yes, it's a bigger deal for us than it is for them, blah, 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 blah. But how good the act feels matters to both. When it works, it's amazing. The horizontal lumbata can change any bad day into a good one, in fights, and move 2 people into the next phase. Now, this is a little old-fashioned, but girls, know who you're giving it to. If you want a relationship with a guy, show him what kind of woman you are. If he can get it the first night and you're too drunk to remember, what does he have to come back for? On the flip side, men have to have a sexual connection to invest, so don't hold out too long, unless, of course, that's your belief or agreement with your guy. And one more thing. It doesn't always have to be so serious. It's okay to just have great sex. But remember, your body is a temple, not a 7-Eleven. You decide when it's open and who gets to come in. And guys, sexual relationships can be stormy, so wear a raincoat. The boyfriend-girlfriend. This part isn't so easy. This is where 2 different people with 2 different lives have to make it work. I'm not saying that all the fun stuff ends. By the way, if it does, you're not in the right twosome. I just mean this is where, if a person or a relationship is worth it, you do the work to make it last. You want to be in something that brings out the best in you, where you can be your true self. You want to be with someone who makes you laugh, who is sexy, romantic, and knows what you're worth. Respect and trust are essential. I've struggled with the trust issue in my life. It's hurt my personal growth as well as growth in my relationships, and truly, most of the time, it comes more from my own fear of getting hurt than the other person's actions. So don't make my mistakes, and just trust as much as you can. And respect, this one is hard because it has to be earned, reciprocated, and kept. By that, I mean your partner has to be respectful of you also, and has to always act in a way that doesn't damage your respect for them. We've all had breakups, but the worst ones are when someone not only hurts you, but does it in a way that makes you lose respect for them. And last, I will say this. A really good relationship is where both people can learn from each other. The person you love can make you a better version of yourself, and you can do the same for them. The spoon. I'm a spooner. I love to spoon. There, I said it. This is one of the top BFGF perks. Like a Velcro monkey, I will suck to the back of my cuddle partner, creating the ultimate spoon. But, and it's no secret, guys hate to spoon. They prefer to fork. LOL. Like a little soft female electric blanket, we cause them to sweat. They try to breathe through our long hair, and they almost always end up clinging to one side of the bed like a cliff that can bring them only to death. So here's the trick. play it cool until he falls asleep, and then Velcro yourself to him quickly and with very little motion. Think Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. And then, if and when he wakes, turn quickly, like you were just stretching, and wait. When the little lamb sleeps again, one, two, three, Velcro. The real personality. I don't wish this next step on anyone, and some can avoid it. Remember when I said to really listen to everything he says early on? This is why. If suddenly 6 months he has anger issues, an inclination to be overly flirtatious with other girls, or is selfish or rude in the way he speaks to you, girls, please don't hate me, but that's your fault. People can learn things in their relationships to make the other person more comfortable and make small adjustments in personality, but really, leopards don't change their spots. He probably told you in his own way or showed you those behaviors 6 months ago, while you were dressing him up in your mind in a Prince Charming outfit, white horse included, and his words were drowned out by the Bridget Jones soundtrack in your head. What we do in falling in love is not wrong. It's just not in our best interest. We turn them into what we want instead of seeing what they are, and we should keep looking until we find the guy who really is all the things we want. Or, maybe, along the way, just really listen. Look inside and see if those qualities are worth moving ahead with. And oh yeah, there will never be perfect. But there will be pretty great, and a relationship in which people are really listening sounds pretty great to me. The toiletry kit. OMG. Let me just embarrass myself right now. I spent 3 hours once making his and her toiletry kits. One for my house and one for his house. At the time, I thought it was the most amazing gift. When I presented them, I thought that I would receive the most romantic award. Not what happened. Instead, I received awkward silence, followed by more awkward smiles, and never heard from him again. My advice. Use overnight bags for as long as it takes. And when he is ready to put stuff at yours, still wait. And even then, start with small things and let him lead. Trust me, I know. The parents. Have you watched Jerry Springer? When has it ever gone smoothly, meaning the parents? I mean, there's always either awkward him, awkward you, awkward them, or awkward us. Awkward him is him hoping that they don't bring up every ex-girlfriend and dorky Star Trek high school photo. Awkward you is hoping you wore the right thing, aren't allergic to his mom's cooking, and don't get felt up by his weird uncle. Awkward them is their very vocal doubt about whether this will last, not even knowing he had a girlfriend, or calling you by the last one's name. Awkward us is the silence in your still strawberry shortcake decorated bedroom. They could be your in-laws if you go to the next level. Will you go to the next level? And can you have intimacy in a strawberry shortcake bedroom? I honestly have no advice on how to make this easier, but I do send you into battle with love. The denial. After you meet the parents, guys go into a phase of trying to pretend that the relationship isn't moving into a serious place, that it's still just casual dating with toiletry kits, sleeping together every night and meeting the parents. This is when women have to be very careful and very smart. You actually want him to think it's no big deal because you don't want him to get scared, but you also want him to know that you're the type of girl he should commit to. Not that I'm a fan of games, but kick your game into high gear. Always look amazing. Really try to pick your battles. Try to be unpredictable and sometimes unavailable. Give him more sex than he asks for. If he works late or has to cancel on something, say, okay. Show him how easy it is to be in a serious relationship with you and still live his life. That two can in fact be better than one. Don't lie or turn into someone you're not. Just look at the relationship in him as no serious thing. In return, he will look at you seriously. Once a man has decided he can commit to you and not lose himself, when he knows you're the one, the chemistry in his body and mind will change, and seeing you the way you've always wanted him to will be inevitable. So go ahead. Be the queen of denial. The are we? One morning, it will all just be different. Something, some moment will change the dynamic. It could be something he says or a look in his eye. It might be the way she sleeps or knows how to give you space when you need it. But both of you will just wonder, are we? Are we really going to do this? Be together always? Sleep only with each other? Make a family? Is this it? and the answer will be exactly what you both wanted. All the dating drama, little fights, getting to know each other's quirks, insecurities, and questions will be over, at least for this phase. You will both just be. A sigh of relief will come over you, and you will be on your way to what will hopefully be a beautiful future. Congrats. The we are. And then there were two. Now that you've said goodbye to dating, worked out the relationship do's and don'ts, and find yourself in commitment bliss, the mind starts asking the next question. Will he ask me to marry him? When, your friends begin to wonder, and you can't help but start sending little hints to your guy. Where is his mind? Well, there are a few possibilities. A, not even thinking about marriage. Sorry, but it's the truth. B, thinking about it and wanting it, but thinking he still has time before he has to do it. That's men. It's okay. You want him to be really ready. Or C, planning the most beautiful surprise of your life and making you squirm. We all hope for this option. My advice is simple. Don't let other people tell you how or when it's supposed to happen. It's your relationship, and you want it to be organic and real. Don't push him. A man pushed into marriage or babies is a caged animal ready to attack. And then you will never know if he really wanted to or was just tired of hearing about it. And most important, daydream about the moment, but remember how powerful the imagination can be. It won't be a Julia Roberts movie because it's not real. It won't be a fairy tale because that's also not real. It will just be your man asking his woman to be his wife. And it will be magical because he's a man making a real commitment that goes beyond his instincts because you've inspired him to do so. This moment for him is all the romance he's got. He has thought, planned, and sweated getting ready to do this. Let it be more perfect than a movie or something in your mind because it's real and it's beautiful. The ring. Oh God. I can't even breathe when I talk about it. It's like the world has all the sound sucked out of it and everything's in slow motion except for your heart. As that little box opens, so do your dreams. And there it is. The ring. There are two scenarios with this. One, the, oh my God, it's the biggest thing I've ever seen. Where did he get the money? Who cares? He's mine, it's mine, and all of my friends will be jealous scenario. Or two, the keep smiling. It's tiny. Not the cut we talked about. He makes more money than that. I care. He doesn't know me scenario. Both exist, and we have no control over which one will happen. Or do we? This is embarrassing and personal, but once a month since I was 12 years old, I go to my favorite jewelry store and try on my dream ring. Some might say, pathetic. I say, prepared. While you get a take-a-chance ring, I will be blinging it all day with my dream ring. And actually, in the last few months or so, trying to be more prepared, I found three rings that would make my heart stop. So, if my guy ever starts putting out the ring vibe, he will have choices. But they will be choices that I love. I don't apologize. A woman's engagement ring is like a man's dream car. It's what we wear every day. What people ask to see first after the announcement and whether we want to admit it or not, it says a lot about what our man knows about and thinks of us. A friend of mine wasn't so happy with her engagement ring, and so after a few months, she traded up, got a bigger one. It was a big deal between the two of them and could have been avoided with a little bling preparation. Also, men will know they've done a good job based on how much she wears it. If it's always in the soap dish, jewelry box, or not on when company's over, she's not crazy about the ring. And don't get me wrong, the ring is still about the meaning behind it, but there's also bling vanity. I'm not gonna lie. So here's the thought. Start looking for what you love. Narrow it down to three rings. When it's that time in the relationship, show them to your guy and help him understand what it means to you and why. He wants to make you happy, and trust me, guys will love the help. And then know that when he opens that box, one of the three things you love will be in there. And then you can have the, oh my God, I knew he would pick that one. It's perfect. He's amazing. He's going to be my husband. And thank you, JLH scenario. The engaged. This is where my knowledge ends. I have not gone past the engagement, but I did learn something while I was engaged. It's as beautiful as it should be. It is a time for flowers, parties, congrats, planning, dreaming, and contentment. But it's also a time for reflection. It's a time to really look at yourself and your partner, individually and together, and have respect for where you're headed. Take care of any issues or problems in this phase, because in marriage, they will only get bigger. Know that your views are compatible on all the major issues, such as children, family, fidelity, religion, and commitment. Even though the stats right now aren't favorable for marriage, doesn't mean that you can't change it. Just be ready. Know that marriage is a responsibility and will take work, but it's beautiful when done right. So while you're engaged, have fun. Take a million memory photos to remember this time, but also slow everything down. Truly understand and appreciate the next step you will take. As you leave all of us single ladies behind to find our perfect moment, look back at us over your shoulder as you walk down the aisle and know that we are right behind you. Texting or sexing? Okay, so let's be honest. Texting is fun. It's flirty and dangerous. You can be more forward if you're shy, more honest if you're scared, and it's faster if you're antisocial. And like anything really cool, if you overuse it, it can be a nightmare. The first time a guy texts you, it's awesome. You can't wait to write back something witty and wait by your phone for a response. Please note, you are waiting by the phone for his response. And here it comes, the flirty text that will start it all. You've got his attention, it's hot, and you've found a rhythm. It's been an amazingly wordy week and a half. He hasn't called or taken you out, but he hasn't blown you off either. Maybe he just needs more time. Or maybe he's supposed to take an hour and a half to respond to your last text. Or maybe he hasn't turned his whole life over to your little text affair and is having a day, like a normal person. Sorry, but the truth hurts. Newsflash. Maybe he's texting you while he's with the girl he is on a date with. Or else loving the fact that he can flirt wildly and not commit to anything more solid. Or maybe he's just too stupid to know that you won't stand for that forever. Or will you? Come on, ladies, we gotta be smarter than this. Do we want textin' or sexin'? I mean, it's cool to rely on modern means to get things rolling, but if we don't stop the electronic lovin' before it's gone too far, they won't. Hey, mister, text me all you want, but after 3 days, I need a phone call and some face-to-face lovin' to ensure that what you really want is me and not a Cyber Sally hassle-free texting girlfriend. Can you say passive-aggressive, boys? I mean, what's next? Text sex? I'll tell you what, it's already happening. Ew. His text. If you're a good girl, I'll text you my penis size. Her text. Well, Big Daddy, my nipple dimensions are on the way. His 10th text. Instead of cuddling and looking into your eyes, I'm gonna shut my phone off and text you tomorrow. And we wonder why the relationship isn't working? Say no to text relationships. Take his BlackBerry away and see what he's really made of. I am in, I am out. I am still on his IM. Stressful day at the office, so sweetly interrupted by the instant message, I am man of your dreams. What a great little invention. He can say hello, send kisses and smileys, and mess up your train of thought anytime he feels like it, and you can do the same. It's so sweet and so much like stalking when you think about it. If you're there, he knows. If you're gone, he knows. Every time you're there and don't answer, he knows. Maybe they should have temporary IM restraining orders. Think about it. You break up, he moves out, you say goodbye to his friends, cry, gain weight, cry, get a new life, lose weight, move on, forget about him, go to work, get on your computer, and like from the dead, it emerges. The one thing you didn't do. The block. The IM block that allows you freedom from the occasional, hey, ... What's up? ... You seeing anybody? ... I know you're there! ... We must think of everything, girls. Why should we be prisoners on our own computers? Stop reading this and block him before it's too late. Run to your computer. Don't walk. Next quote. Love is a fire, but whether it's going to warm your heart or burn down your house, you never can tell. Joan Crawford. Three strikes, you're out. If dates were like baseball, the three strikes you're out rule would still apply. There are lots of variations on the theme, but the outcome is the same. On my one and only blind date, I experienced three in one night. He called me baby before we even pulled out of the driveway, gave me Altoids 20 minutes in for our kiss at the end of the night, and then tried to get me to play a game with him at the arcade because that's what couples do. The appearance of my knight in shining armor was not what had been written in my childhood diaries. He was wearing alligator loafers. Hello, PETA. Slacks that were cut too high, maybe he was expecting a flood. And a shiny silk shirt. Yeah, I was about to go out with the neighborhood slick guy, except he obviously was from a time period before I was born. Side note, the reason they call it a blind date is because if you could see them, you wouldn't go. Let me show you how this works. You're in public, and the guy starts to show anger or aggression towards you and others. Strike one. Later in the evening, you realize that the friend who dressed him taught him those manners and told him it was okay for him to behave this way on a date is his ex, who is also his roommate. Strike two. And then, at the climax of the evening, the only one you will experience, you go to a karaoke bar because that makes up for the last 2 hours of your life you will never get back, and you realize you are with a man who knows every word to the Discovery Channel song and is proud of it. For those of you who don't know the song, the lyrics are, "You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. Strike three! You're out." Now, although these scenarios sound dramatic, trust me, the three-strike rule works when applied. Look, if he strikes out three times in one night, you don't want to go to that game again, and the hot dog probably wasn't very good. Here's some more strikes to look out for. One, he's more than 15 minutes late. Two, he's driving his mother's car. Three, his mother is driving his car. One, he can't stop looking at your chest. Two, he can't stop looking at the waitress's chest. And three, if he can't stop looking at every girl's chest. One, if he starts talking about himself and can't stop. Two, if he starts talking about breakfast in the morning and you just sat down. And three, if he basically tries to eat your face when kissing you goodnight. One, if he keeps saying, "That's so dumb," when you're talking. Two, if he's been living in his ex-wife's house. And three, if he keeps calling you by another girl's name. You're out. Something smells. Okay, price of nice perfume, $50. Lotion and powder to go with it, $150. Victoria's Secret 90, $45. Mascara, eyeliner, concealer, blush, gloss, and foundation, at least $250. And mani-pedi, at least $30. Just some of the things we do as women to get our guys all hot and bothered. And it works. It attacks them like the bird flu and makes them defenseless. We become sex goddesses, smelling of roses and vanilla with smoky eyes and French tips, slinking across the room with our hair cascading around us in a body-hugging nightie that we will never wear again. And yet romance, or that damn Cupid, shoves one more pin in our alluring balloon. A study was done a few years ago to find what scent got men going. They were all blindfolded and asked to smell a bunch of different aromas. This is where you're going to want to sit down. Every one of them picked the same thing. Was it exotic? Did it smell of unforgettable nights in Europe? Could it change your sex life forever? Not unless you find breakfast arousing. They all picked the smell of freshly baked cinnamon rolls. Are you kidding me? Okay, my first two problems. Who included breakfast in the perfume test? Must have been a man. And do I actually have to worry more about the factory girls from Pillsbury than their model exes? I mean, honestly, what is the world coming to? I refuse to walk around with frosting behind my ears and cinnamon on my wrist. A French maid or a Playboy playmate is okay to get your man's motor running, but to pretend to be a croissant? That is where the dignity is lost. So save all your beauty money, and I guess if you want to take him to bed, just take him to breakfast. Deja wardrobe. Okay. So we've all done it, taken the walk. We've connected with someone or some tequila bottle and found ourselves in day two of the same outfit, taken what is affectionately called the walk of shame. Question, how come John Travolta walks down the street with a theme song after dancing all night and everyone thinks he's cool? Yet we all can't get a cab or a friendly good morning without judgment and misunderstanding. So what? I didn't go home. Yet the outfit looked great last night. Maybe it will look even better in the light of day. He said he could see into my soul. Okay, maybe that's not a good reason to take the walk. Sometimes stuff happens. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Turn our car into a mini walk-in so that others approve? Not ever follow our hearts down impulsive street? And why do we care? And here's a bone. Who made it the walk of shame? You know, why can't it be the I had a good time walk or the walk of accomplishment? I mean, maybe we just all care too much about what others think. So, right here, right now, let's change it. No more shame. Take a walk whatever time you want, with a theme song or without, but hold your head high. It's time to be proud of our decisions. And remember, the outfit you wear tonight, you better like it in the morning. When your relationship comes to a skid mark. This is not for those with delicate stomachs, so beware. In relationships, there are lots of big moments, cliffhangers and showstoppers, and then what I like to call the, oh no, he didn't's. Let me set the scene. It's another beautiful day in your dreamy relationship with Mr. Perfect. You decide to be a domestic goddess for your man, besides writing Mrs. Blank over and over again on a piece of paper. The other way to pretend you're in domestic bliss is to do his laundry. See your whites next to his whites, your thongs next to his briefs. It's the moment you don't want anyone to walk in on because they would think you were absolutely hopeless. And then, as if you were in the front row of a horror movie, it appears. The skid mark. Stop everything. Unless you have had a bad fish or the 24-hour flu, there's just no excuse. Wipe harder. And if you know there's a chance that something might get left behind, wash them yourself or burn them. Okay, I have been introduced to Mr. Brown and I didn't handle it well at first. I screamed and I ran to the opposite end of the house. Why? I don't know. Maybe I thought it would leave or clean itself or I was just dreaming. And then, with the Rocky theme song in my head, I decided that no brown ugly was going to get me down. So back I went. I grabbed those undies, with tongs, of course, and threw them in the machine. I felt like a real woman. I knew the oodles of women had washed skids before me. I felt domestic and ready to take on whatever the world had to offer. I wondered if I would look at him differently, pay closer attention to what he was eating, and wonder every time if I would come face to face with it again. By the way, after that, he did the laundry. Natural dilemma. So, you're out with your guy, and it's breakfast time at your favorite cafe. The sun is shining. Your skin glows perfect in the light. His eyes are still a little puffy from waking up. His bedhead, irresistible. And your guy can't stop staring at you. The type of staring you hope other women see because A, you want witnesses, and B, you know for a brief moment of time they will be jealous and wish that they were with him. Oh, but he is so not with them. He is yours and so happy to be a slave to the sparkle in your eyes. P.S. Sparkle is provided by Hot Boyfriend Staring. And then it happens. And oh, ladies, it has happened to all of us. The moment that he says, you are the most beautiful woman in the world. I love it when you don't wear makeup. I want to be with the girl in sweats and no makeup forever. You're floored for many reasons. First, you have to forget the $30 you just spent on hottie products, but more important, all of that worry you've had for years, thinking of how you could erase supermodels so you could be noticed, getting up 2 hours earlier than him to put on makeup so he doesn't see you without the mask, worried that guy 187 didn't call because he met someone prettier, it's gone. Vanished. It only took one guy, your guy, to make you feel more beautiful than you could have imagined. Forget burning bras. You want to burn it all, every product, and feel free in your naked beauty. So you kiss him. A big one that says, I'll thank you now and later. You sit back and feel like the queen you are. You look around at the other women and wonder if they've had such a moment, and if not, hope they do. You are the natural Heidi Klum walking down the runway of no worries, and everyone wants what you're selling. Cue the record scratch. What the hell was that? Did your guy just check out another girl? And not just with his eyes, did he just turn his head? And for the girl in the March Vogue cover outfit and full makeup, and is he really trying to play it off as if I didn't see it? And why did that skank buzz kill my moment? This has happened to all of us. To me, way too many times. And I personally will never get it. Quick question, guys. If you love us, your partner, with no makeup, but your head turns towards the girl who spent 4 hours in the bathroom, what are we supposed to do? And the excuses? Kill me. One guy said, and I quote, baby, I wasn't looking at that girl. My neck hurt, and I was stretching it out. Guy two said, girl? What girl? I thought that was a dude. And my personal favorite, from guy number three, you know, a lot of people have noticed it's hard for me to focus on one thing. Maybe I have adult ADD. Seriously, they will go to any length to protect the right to stare. To admire someone's beauty is natural. But the head turning, the dead mouth drooling, and the saying that you love us natural and then gawking at America's Next Top Model is really hard to swallow. So what does it all mean?
They should all be killed.
That's what it means, said like the little kid in The Shining. Sorry. That was my inside voice talking. Should we express the way it makes us feel? Or do we, and this sounds easy, accept it as a thing that men do that's harmless? And unless they leave you at the cafe to follow the skirt home, don't worry. Be annoyed, but don't worry. Men will always look. So, next time it happens, brush it off. And no matter what your inner voice tells you, know that if he left you, it would be his biggest mistake. For the extremely insecure, the category I sometimes fall into, never let his wondering eye make you feel like you're not good enough. It's like a dog that's full and fat. It doesn't need food or want food, but if it's there, it'll beg for it. And remember, it's in our nature to want what we can't have. On the other hand, even if guys have to stare, it's a part of their nature, blah, 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 it's not okay if it hurts you. If it bothers you, that's one thing. If it hurts you, talk to them. And to guys who might be reading this, be gentle. Looking at other girls while we're standing there can hurt. And then maybe some of you should just be happy with the women you have. In a relationship, don't look backward or forward, look right next to you. You're probably luckier than you realize. I say this to everyone. Love and relationships are already complicated, and making your partner feel like you'd rather be somewhere else doesn't help anything. There are a lot of people in the world to be with. There will always be someone smarter, prettier, or more interesting. If girls are putting it out there, guys are gonna pick it up. They're not in a relationship with you and actively looking for something else. They're just doing what my boyfriend and I call the register. They're registering the opposite sex as a slight release of the old single guy, and their right is your guy to still be able to look without destroying you. It doesn't mean that they want to run off and start a life with every girl they look at. That's in our heads. It's strictly physical and not emotional. By the way, we as women should register too. Ladies, try to accept guys for who they are and don't take it personally. Guys, be more sensitive to your partner. And if you have to look, for the love of God, wear sunglasses.
This is the end of the CD. The audiobook continues on the next CD.
Okay. The book has officially been hijacked by a man who is funny, I trust, and has insight into the female mind. I hope you find what you hear next as enlightening and inspiring as I did. True to women's form, I had to jump in every now and then. Budinsky, or does my butt look big?
Men hope so. I like big butts, and I cannot lie. Boy, Sir Mix-a-Lot sure was a genius. Seriously, no truer words have ever been spoken. The rear end, or the booty, has been the subject of fascination for the male species since the Stone Age. I'm here to tell you, as a man, a guy, or whatever you want to call me, what we really like. We like your butt, and we like it big.
Hold on a second. JLH here. I have to jump in. Did a man just say he likes our butts? And big? And what was the last 10 years of self-torture been about? Why didn't we know this before, and where is the nearest Baskin-Robbins? Sorry. Continue.
It's the last impression guys have of you when you're walking away. It's like the end credits of a movie. It's what we envision as something we can grab and hold. Something that will keep us warm and protect us from tropical storms because we can hide underneath it. But somehow, in the last 30 years, someone thought that the butt should be smaller, tiny, like an 8-year-old boy's even. What the? Ladies, let me tell you something. Stop tripping on your butt. Let your man decide how big it should be for you.
JLH again. Okay. He can decide how big, but I have to carry it in my pants. You want a bigger butt? Say the word. Whatever you want, sweetheart. Sorry. Keep going.
If you look at the history of film from Olivia de Havilland in the beginning all the way through the 60s, 70s, especially Russ Meyer films, Kelly LeBrock in the 80s, and in the 90s with J-Lo and Salma Hayek, etc., women have always had big, round, beautiful derrieres. You notice how I didn't mention Cate Blanchett and Nicole Kidman in that sentence? Classy, beautiful women nonetheless, but no junko in the trunko. Although I will say, as far as English women go, Kate Winslet does have a nice badonkadonk. We men worship your hiney. First of all, more cushion for the pushing, more round to ground, and bootylicious are all terms that apply to women that men love.
All right, you know who it is already. If I could just eat a double-double right now and shake it naked, I would. This is hot. Women everywhere, pay attention. A man who knows other men and is surrounded by a city of beautiful, thin women wants you bootylicious. Come on, tell me, this is not the best day ever.
Shapely and curvy is what turns men on. Not nice at all. No ass at all. It says that our women are sexy, strong, and yummy. When we see a woman with the kitchen sink as her backside, we just want to kiss you all over after we tackle you like a fullback on the 30-yard line at Soldier Field. I feel that women somehow, maybe when aerobics started, damn you, Jane Fonda, have lost touch with what men desire and are trying to go against the natural grain of bonerism. Let me tell you something. Men don't want olive oil. They want attack of the 50-foot woman. It goes back to our genetics, girls. Google it. I hate to see ladies always worried and saying, do these pants make my butt look big? Oh my God. Well, geez, for men's sake, we hope so.
Yep, you guessed it, JLH again. I just have to say, what? God, I love this man, and where has a secret colony of butt lovers been living? I mean, we don't want to ask if our butts look big, but we thought anything over a size zero, which isn't even a size, by the way, was a no-no. Again, sorry for interrupting. Please tell us more.
Men don't want sticks. I'm serious, girls. We like juicy and firm, or juicy and jiggly. Hey, have you ever heard a man say, hey, look at that ass. It's so flat. Cool. Let me get some of that. No. Stop reading magazines, ladies. It ain't reality. Those are starved bitches who survive on Starbucks, cigarettes, and Valtrex, and most are 14 years old.
JLH is so glad that you just said that. As women, if we said that, we would get slapped. And P.S., have you ever seen a super skinny girl with a smile on her face? No. She's too hungry.
Being neurotic about your backside is not sexy to men, girls. Seriously. Sexy to men is owning your rump roast and daring your man to try and conquer it. Sexy to men is your attitude, and the attitude is in your eyes when you look at us, when you stare and you give us the confidence in who you are. That's what gets us going, because we think, damn, that chick knows what she wants. I hope she picks me. Hell, voluptuous has been a curse word to a lot of women. That's what men want. You get it? Here's an example. Have you ever seen a woman who's kind of big? She's got big boobs, a big butt, thick legs. She wears heels and pants a little too tight. I know there are girls, they look at her and they say, who does she think she is with all that extra luggage? She better put that away. Well, ladies, let me tell you, men look at her and say, damn, I want to tackle that lion. I want to tame that beast. You know you've seen women like this, and you might be one. Those women should be adored because they are confident in their size, and men love confidence.
Me again. I have to say, this whole thing is shocking and great. I might actually be able to feel good about myself in a pair of skinny jeans eating a pint of ice cream. God bless you, Jamie Kennedy.
If you own who you are, then men will want to own it with you. Enjoy yourself, and men will enjoy you also. Which leads me to another thought. Women can be so hard on other women. You're a sisterhood. Have each other's backs.
Sorry to keep butting in, no pun intended, but you're right. We are a sisterhood, except some girls didn't get the memo and are mean, which makes us defensive and judgmental. But hey, I'm so happy about the butt thing, I'll be even nicer to other girls.
It's true. Women judge each other so hard. They look a woman up and down and they say, look at her. She got her lips done, she got her cheeks done, she got her nose done. Hell, that's not even her real head. I personally think women get boob implants to compete with other women, and men get hair transplants to compete with other men. It's not for the opposite sex. I mean, we'll take fake boobs if you got them, but we'd rather take what God gave you, small or big. As long as you're cool with it, we're cool with it. And if you want a little procedure because it'll make you feel better about yourself, go for it. Grab that scalpel. We all do a little nip-tuck now and then. God knows these aren't my real pecs. But it saddens me to see women be so hard on themselves about the body they think they have, as opposed to the body that men are dying to get all over. We love your big hips, your big butt, more to spoon with, your big boobs, more to keep us warm, and your little tummy pooch. That's where we want to crawl in and live. We know it's safe there.
See, girls, there are good ones out there.
Just my 2 cents.
Next quote. Find a guy who calls you beautiful instead of hot, who calls you back when you hang up on him, who will lie under the stars and listen to your heartbeat, or will stay awake just to watch you sleep. Wait for the boy who kisses your forehead, who wants to show you off to the world when you are in sweats, who holds your hand in front of his friends, who thinks you're just as pretty without makeup on, one who is constantly reminding you of how much he cares about you and how lucky he is to have you, the one who turns to his friends and says, that's her. Unknown. His and her thrones. The bathroom. The friend that knows all your secrets, maybe too many. The sacred place where we get ready for the world. The magic passageway that we step through for a big date. We go in a potential hottie and we come out a showstopper. It's where a guy goes from a boy to a man with cologne and a crisp white button down. It's more than a bathroom. It's your sanctuary. And then someone invented his and her sinks. What were they thinking? Hello, reality. Goodbye, mystery. Look, I'm all for domesticity and sharing space, but not that space. Yeah, I didn't always feel this way. I thought it would be the ultimate in romance, until I realized it's not just men who need a little mystery. Let's be honest. It's not hot to see a man clip his nose hairs, rub his butt, clean out his ears, or worse, discover he doesn't do any of those things. And men definitely don't want to see us shave our underarms, pluck our eyebrows, lather on anti-cellulite cream, nair our nifty mustache, and struggle with figure-smoothing shorts. P.S. I love those shorts. We want to picture a guy in a hot shower, with water dripping from his biceps, his white teeth sparkling in the mirror like Edward from Twilight, barely containing his excitement to see us. Now that is hot. And guys want to picture us in tiny black lace panties, high heels with our hair half up, half down, and a little in our face, dancing to Let's Get It On, putting perfume in all the right places and slipping slowly into our little black dress a la Audrey Hepburn. So I say sharing some things is good, just not everything. Let mystery be your secret weapon of romance. Let him have his fantasy of you, and in return, cherish your alone time in the magic chamber that is your bathroom. Trust me, no man will be offended by these separate quarters. In fact, you might even be the woman of his dreams. www.zipit.com. Have you ever had words fly out of your mouth like a bad meal? I suffer from this on a daily basis. I need someone to invent a mouth zipper. Speaking of zippers, don't you just despise the men and women with no moral values or self-control and with downright slutty behavior who can't keep their zippers closed? Oops. See what I'm talking about? No self-control. Speaking of control, don't you wish you could just turn your back for 5 seconds without some pea-brain bimbo trying to make the love of your life an afternoon snack? Oops. I did it again. Inventors, please listen to my plea. Mouth zipper. While I'm on this subject, here's a novel idea. Let people be in love. If you see two people happy, keep your mitts to yourself. Just know these destroyers of happiness will never penetrate the inner lining of the heart we occupy. I'll tell you why these people are out there. It's to show us who we can trust. There will always be sluts and man-whores, but there will also be a good woman and even better men who won't stray from their heart's desire because something new has been added to the menu. It's our job to send those lost yet slutty souls our light and sympathy. Because at the end of the day, it must be so sad to love yourself so little that you'd be willing to become the joke, the cocktail hour topic, or worst of all, the reason someone else will find it difficult to love and trust again. Guess I couldn't zip it on that one. Let's play we. This, ladies, is a tricky one. The we is not just a game. Like, for instance, when we help our men from I to we. Him. I'm going to dinner at 8 p.m. Us. No, actually, we are going to dinner. Him. I just came back from vacation in Mexico. Us. No, actually, we just came back from vacation in Mexico. I don't believe for a minute that this is a man tactic, a reason not to commit. I think it's complete unawareness of the joint relationship effort. They're used to traveling alone, whereas women tend to travel in groups. For instance, we, from the time we were little, go to the bathroom together. They go it alone. They take their computers and go to Starbucks. We go with the girls for drinks. They go backpacking in Europe. We go for all-girls spa weekends. They like to play alone, if you know what I mean. We prefer not to play alone. You also know what I mean. We can't be hard on men about this one. We have to help them. When they say I, help them say we. If you and your guy are with other people and he says, I ate at the best restaurant last night, just simply follow it up with, yeah, we had the best food. It will eventually change his thinking. And men, relax. Just because we want you to include us in the moment with the powerful we doesn't mean marriage. Women don't think we is the house, the dog, the joint bank account, the wedding, the babies, and the end. Well, maybe some do, but we don't claim those girls. For women, it's just a small, considerate step towards really respecting us. It's including us in your life and showing no fear in sharing your existence. It's important for both sexes to keep their identities, but it's also sometimes important to share. We were all taught that in, what, first grade, I think? Just try to be more aware, guys, and help them out, ladies. Trust me, we will all be happier. Breaking up is easy to do. Surviving it is the hard part. Can't live with them, can't live without them, can't shoot them. Well, maybe in some states. Next quote. Falling in love is awfully simple, but falling out of love is simply awful. Anonymous. Put your big girl pants on and get over it. Breakups, goodbyes, endings, however you see it, are hard. It feels like someone is driving over you with his car. You don't know how you will ever get out of bed, eat again, or stop eating. You keep crying and telling the story and beating yourself up for not seeing it sooner or doing it better. He goes from being the love of your life to your ex-boyfriend, to a jerk, to a piece of bleep, to just a bleeping bleep. The radio stations only play love songs to torture you. Romantic comedies are on every channel, and only really happy couples eat at restaurants. Go grocery shopping, and now, for some strange reason, stop and smile at you. You start to notice kittens, because soon you will live alone with 90 cats and one fern. All the fruit you crave comes in bunches or pairs. I mean, even fruit hates you. The one time you do eat out, the guy and girl next to you get engaged and ask you to take their first photo. This actually happened to me the day after I had to end my engagement. Cue the crocodile tears. Your eyes are so swollen shut from crying, it's impossible to see your future. Even old people and babies who can never get mad at now seem like horrible people, because babies have felt no pain and no knot of your suffering, and old people don't have to worry about finding someone new. And then one day, when everything has let you live in misery for the needed amount of drama, it has to end. Like a cavalcade of angels with maxi pad wings come your girlfriends. And these words change it all. Put your big girl pants on and get over it. And you do. A, you've eaten so much you only have big girl pants, and B, being depressed is not productive. Even if you have to pretend to be happy for a while, your spirit will follow. Remember, it always gets worse before it gets better, and when it gets better, it gets great. I've just gone through it, and I've come out on the other side. I have a new respect for myself. I've been able to look inside and figure out who I truly am. I know that I am the marriage type and can be in a committed relationship, even if he was not the right one. And I know now I truly can survive anything. Sometimes it's in the toughest moments that you learn the most about yourself. And the more you know yourself, the less you're willing to give away. It was vajazzling. So, there I was, trying to heal from my trampled heart, trying to think of anything I could do to get out of this funk. I learned to crochet finger puppets, because any guy I date next will have that as a requirement, right? I perfected my I'm over him and moving on voice. My ultimate discovery was when I realized that if you stare at the ceiling and start counting around 11:30 p.m., you will reach 1,486 by 4 a.m. I am so glad I learned that. A lot like algebra. Not. And then somewhere between the late show and the early show, it hit me. The light bulb I've been waiting for, the best idea I've ever had. I need a spray tan. God, I need to get a life. Spray tans seem very exciting after 1,500 conversations with your dog. It's time to let someone in my house and bring with them a little color. That's right. Soon, I would be a walking caramel macchiato. Angelique was the magic woman's name. She would be the first person I talked to in weeks and the one to start the cocoa-colored makeover. When she arrived, I was so excited to start my transformation, and then color layer by color layer, my confidence grew. She told me about this new beauty trend. It would not only change my outer appearance, but how I felt about myself on the inside. She said it would add a little sparkle into my life. I called it the jazzling. She wanted to put Swarovski crystals on my hoo-ha. The lack of traffic on my hoo-ha highway at the moment and my fear of lying sober and naked while a woman put crystals on my little lady made me hesitate. Then I wondered why. In my head, I couldn't have a vajazzled area without someone to see it. But I was wrong. I should do it for me. It should look like my favorite denim jacket from the 80s and be just for my viewing pleasure. So I lay down. It was very fast and not awkward at all. And what I saw when the mirror and I met was amazing. The once pale, sad girl who couldn't figure out how to move on from her breakup had transformed into a bronze sex goddess with the prettiest hoo-ha in my neighborhood. For the next week, I had this uncontrollable urge to show everyone my crystal delight. Thank God I fought that and kept the Adoration Society to one. It's true. I had started a love affair with my lower region disco ball, and before I knew it, I felt great again. So, if you find yourself down and out or just want to have a sparkly secret in your pants, go for it. Boost your confidence and get out of the dumps any way you can. But don't be dazzlet. Vajazzlet. Table for one. Well, here I am, eating alone. Not to sound needy, but I've never done this before. Never ordered without someone to discuss it with. Never had the waiter say, "Just you?" Weird feeling sorry for me pause, and then, "This way, ma'am." Why am I a ma'am? Is it because I'm alone? Yeah, as I sit in a pretty empty restaurant, I notice that everyone here is alone. Have these sweet patrons come out to support me and my table for one? Is this restaurant called Table for One? Or is it just that I find myself in a business stopover hotel where most people are actually alone? It's sweet and sad, in a way, to watch them all not want to be by themselves so badly that everyone's on the phone. Even me. I can't call enough people to fill in the space between more water, ma'am, and my entree. So why is it that we can't be alone? What's wrong with laughing to yourself about the funny thing that happened that day? Saying in a hushed tone, "Wow, this tastes good." Maybe it's because when you can tell someone a funny story, it also makes their day. And a laugh that is shared is food for your soul. And maybe sharing something that tastes good between two people who care enough about each other to share a meal is the stuff life is made of. A few brief conversations with myself, two margaritas, and a really nice meal later, I decided it would be a very long time before I ask for a moment alone again. In whom can we trust? Have you ever really looked at the word trust? I mean, we've all talked about it. Had it, not had it, given it, been sorry, or wanted to be able to give it so badly, but have been so haunted by the ghosts of the past that we couldn't. But have we really looked at it? I did today, for the first time. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and studied it like the Da Vinci Code. And there it was, right there in the middle of this simple five-letter word. The answer we all seek, but can't or just don't want to see. In the middle of the word trust is the word us. Yeah, makes blaming issues on someone else kind of difficult. Maybe finding trust is so hard because it's not about looking at another person. Maybe it's about looking at ourselves. When things get tough and scary, can you be trusted not to run? When you feel insecure or threatened and have had your trust tested and it failed, will you be able to trust again, or will you live in fear of being hurt again? Can you be trusted to live by the same rules you ask others to live by? Can you be trusted with someone's heart? It suddenly all becomes clearer. First, we have to trust ourselves. And if we can be trusted with someone's heart, if we can trust another person, and most important, trust in ourselves, then we will always be okay. Really finding the ability to trust is the hardest thing to do. I'm still working on it, because when it's broken, it feels like something inside you dies. But when someone is worth all you have to give, take a long look at yourself. Trust yourself, and then trust others. Everything will be okay. Trust me. Next quote. Love means to commit oneself without guarantee, to give oneself completely in the hope that our love will produce love in the loved person. Love is an act of faith, and whoever is of little faith is also of little love. Unknown. You love me. You really love me. Or maybe not. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty strong. Not a lot gets me down or damages my spirit. But I do find a difference between my inner and outer self. If someone attacks my brain, body, or image, I'm fine. Sure, it sucks, but from the core of who I am comes this way of not letting it get to me. I'm affected by it, and then I move on. But when it comes to my heart, a bad or unkind review on my ability to love leaves me crippled. Someone attacking my heart is like being shot. I lose all ability to be strong, and here comes the really messed up part. And I know it's not just me. People can say nice things all day long, and I'll miss them, or brush them off. But the one bad thing feels like it's being shouted through a megaphone pressed directly against my eardrum. So, why do we always believe the worst reviews? I think it's because to truly love or be in your highest self makes us very vulnerable. I also think it's really simple. We all care what others think of us. Don't try to pretend you don't, because I know you do. And if someone doesn't like our outside, we can take it as an opinion or taste. But if someone doesn't like our inside, it's an attack on who we are. But here's the upside. We all get through it. And most of the time, we get stronger. The downside, however, can be devastating. If we wear our worst reviews like a backpack, they travel with us. The only way to beat the bad review is to leave it behind. Please don't take it with you. It's not healthy. And never change who you are because of a bad review. Remember what they say. Opinions are like, well, you know, and everybody's got one. And let's be honest, most critics are insecure and not happy with who they are either. People know that slight nitpicking and teasing in any relationship is healthy, but breaking someone's spirit is never okay. A bad love review does not mean you're a horrible person. It means you may not be right for them, and why would you want to be with someone who feels that way? It's okay to ask more of someone or to be loved differently, but it's never okay to damage someone's heart. The love slayers, as we will now call them, learn of their destruction only by seeing it at work. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. Next time you meet one of those love slayers in the dark alleys of relationships, be strong. Take the review, look him or her in the face, and say, "Thank you. I will try to work on that for the next person." Tell him or her that you feel the situation isn't right for you anymore and walk away. In 2 seconds, you have stepped on the slayer's review, been stronger than you ever thought you could be, and fought off the bad review arrow headed straight for your heart. Some people think it's the first impression that matters most, but I think it's the last. 20 things to do after a breakup. 1, listen to Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette. 2, eat chocolate, but only for 48 hours. 3, get out of bed, preferably within 72 hours. 4, get out of the house. Remember, your friends still have to know you, so shower. 5, talk about something else. 6, go to yoga. 7, delete his number. 8, change your number. 9, make out with a stranger. He must be gorgeous or you'll feel worse. 10, get a new outfit. 11, get a new hairdo. 12, call that guy you've always thought about. 13, stop driving by his house. It's not fatal attraction. 14, delete him from Facebook. Refer to earlier IM chapter. 15, don't have regrets. 16, don't go to see romantic comedies. 17, do something extreme that you wouldn't normally do. 18, don't go to the old wee spots. 19, take it one day at a time. We all have to take it one day at a time. That's how it works. And 20, no, you won't die. You have to stick around so he can see what a mistake he made. Next quote. The best and most beautiful things in the world cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart. Helen Keller. Actual facts about the heart. Whenever we suffer a breakup, we can't help but wonder about the damage done to our hearts. Maybe some interesting facts about how truly strong the heart is will help us remember that the damage is just emotional. Fact 1. The average human heart beating at 72 beats per minute will beat approximately 2.5 billion times in a lifetime, which is about 66 years. Fact 2. It weighs on average 250 grams to 300 grams in females and 300 grams to 350 grams in males. For once, it's not women who have the weight problem. Fact 3. The human heart begins beating at a rate near the mother's, about 75 to 80 beats per minute, around 21 days after conception. Fact 4. There is no difference between male and female heartbeats before birth. It is only after birth and during full function as male or female that they become different. Boy, how different. Fact 5. The heart is the most critical organ of the human body, and it pumps oxygenated blood to feed the body's biological functions. Therefore, it is the part of the body you should take care of the most. Fact 6. High blood pressure and stress, breakups and fighting, can increase the risk of developing heart disease. Of course, one must also consider other factors, such as lifestyle and overall health, mental and social, as well as physical. Fact 7. The heart is essentially a muscle only a little larger than the fist. Great things come in small packages. Let's snuggle, the hormone that makes us do so. Oxytocin is the hormone that will be your new best friend. It is produced in both males and females. Oxytocin plays a role in the response to maternal, sexual, and social behaviors. Even virgin female rats injected with oxytocin fawn and nuzzle anything nearby, protecting them as if they were their own. Studies show that oxytocin in females, as well as in males, is key to pair bonding. Oxytocin has been proven to increase trust and reduce fear. Wonder if I can get that in a pill. Our oxytocin levels rise when we are touched anywhere on our bodies, producing that warm and fuzzy feeling. If there is a key that can help unlock the heart to love, it is oxytocin. Don't skip over the feeling when it happens. Breathe it in and enjoy. Oxytocin cocktail, anyone? Stop. In the name of love. Okay, I know we've all been through this one. After you've stopped dating someone, everyone in your life has to tell you how awful he was. Did you know he was cheating on you the whole time? Did you know that he hit on me at my birthday party? The first time I saw him, I knew he was all wrong for you. He so was not even cute. You get the point. The initial purpose is sweet. It's to boost you up, make you feel special, and like you were too good for him anyway. But the internal conflict that you're experiencing is invisible to those around you. You start to think, why? Why didn't anyone tell me I was with Satan? Why didn't anyone tell me that my life was dwindling away? And then you think, and why tell me now? As if I need more bad news on top of all the pain I'm feeling? Well, then you feel stupid for not seeing it. And it's only then that you realize, sometimes the best goodbye is a nice one. Leaving yourself with a good memory will get you a lot further in the healing process. Look, if it was good, you would still be in it. It wasn't, so you're not. But wouldn't you rather know that you were in it at one point for a reason? Of course you would. You want to know that you choose the right person to spend time with for that part of your life, and that he was a good person, and that at that time, you made the right choice. That your time together mattered, and that you can take what you've learned here to your next relationship. You want to remember good times because it's only good that can fill up your heart so you can move on. Hatred makes you stagnant. It leaves no room for growth, and it isn't real. I have apologized to friends and loved ones, but you can't say who I chose was wrong. That's for me to decide. Loving someone, even if someone you don't love anymore for what they brought to your life, is you being your highest self. So, earmuffs. Let people know that your relationships are not to be gossiped about, and that you love their support, but to support you with positive things, not negative. There are so many things to talk about. Let's leave each other out of it. Next quote. An act of love that fails is just as much a part of the divine life as an act of love that succeeds. For love is measured by fullness, not by reception. Harold Lokes. Next insert. This is the section where we truly bond. This is where there's no judgment, just support. I've had personal experience with how tough people's opinions can be. It's not fun, and it can hurt. But we can also laugh and move on. Read ahead and know that I too have been there and will be there. Being a woman is the best thing in the world. It also comes with some tough times, hormones and body changes, and while men grow old gracefully, we gracefully try not to get old. For female eyes only. My 5-day diet that only lasted 3. Oh my God, you won't believe it. I lost 100 pounds last night while I was sleeping. Oh no, wait, I fell asleep watching America's Next Top Model and thought that girl was me. Oops. Look, I know it's only been 3 days, but throw me a freaking bone. At least let me start to see Elle McPherson's cheekbones on my face. The word diet, by the way, stands for I died because I couldn't eat it. You know, no wonder this diet I'm on comes from doctors. It only lasts 5 days because then they have to check you in for a heart attack, rage issues, or passing out brought on by an abnormal intake of dry toast and beets. But I'm excited about day 4. Mm-hmm. I get no bread at all, and dessert is sucking on ice cubes to prevent dehydration. I figure by 4 o'clock I should start to see Big Macs driving next to me in traffic, or chili dog friends coming over for a visit. And then, after my cup of carrots and one bear weenie, I'll be off to bed with a headache, anger issues, delusions, and no energy. P.S. I am so malnourished I can't even remember my old jean size, so how will I even know if this diet worked? Good night, my little ice cream sandwiches. You're so vain, you probably think my varicose is about you. It was a gorgeous day. A perfect, short, silky sundress kind of day. The kind of day where construction workers whistle at your very existence and you don't want to give them the I am woman finger as usual. I was in my closet, enjoying the delicious search for the perfect sandals, when I saw them. My great-grandmother's legs attached to my body. Why on earth did I look 80 from the thighs down? I thought it was bad lighting. You know, the varicose lighting, often found at IKEA, or not. I mean, how was I going to explain this to my summer wardrobe? How was I going to explain to my 29-year-old body that from the thighs up I had obviously not gotten the memo that I'm aging? And why didn't Cosmo ever write about this happening? Forget how to do your best friend's guy in horoscopes. Why had no one ever told me that the bubble in which we exist could burst at any moment? What was this, and why? As I did some asking in between sending myself your still attractive text messages, I found out that it happens to a lot of people. didn't help me much, but misery loves company. I'm starting to deal on a normal level now with my vein problem, pun intended, but where do I go from here? I mean, we don't get younger. Soon the varicose veins will be joined by other things. Saggy boobs, wrinkles, and hair on my face. Yeah, I did just say, hair on my face. I could go on, but why? P.S. I just sent myself another You're Still Pretty text. You know, maybe I can make them a conversation piece, like, hey, did you see my vein formation in the shape of Texas? Pretty cool, huh? Or, wanna come over and play Connect the Veins? All right, I'm trying to be positive. I look at it this way. I've earned them. Here's the deal. We all have things that get us down. Love yourself anyway. The right people will love you for your heart, not your veins. So hold your head high. Make those blue goddess veins your beauty mark and make being vain a good thing. Bitch, please. If ordering personality parts for a woman was like ordering food, it might sound like this. I would like to have elegance as an appetizer. Class, dignity, and sex appeal is my main course with a side of great legs, and for dessert, a little bitch, please. Yes, I did just order a little bit of bitch. From this point on, bitch will be a good word, and for us, a compliment. It's that little bit of feisty that we may need to use every now and then. And even if the bitch is never used, just by carrying it inside, you will have an inner strength that will keep people from messing with you. Sometimes, you have to be a bitch. It'll keep girls from pushing you too far and stop men from thinking you're a pushover. Now, please, do not go and tell people that I, JLH, told you it was okay to be a bitch. But it is okay to have a little bit of bitch inside. So, use it. Let your man know he will have to work in a good way to be with such a great woman. And that if needed, your little friend, bitch, will come in and finish the conversation. And to those types of women, you know, the ones who seem to awaken even the smallest, quietest bitch, let her rip. They will be shocked and they will back down. I repeat, your inner bitch isn't to be used for bad. Only the special moments when you need her. I may never say this again, but go ahead, ladies. Be a bitch. It was a strange day in my life. The day my bikini photo was plastered all over every magazine and internet site imaginable. I found myself consumed with asking, why me? I'm a nice person. I haven't harmed anyone. I honestly didn't get it. And what would other women think watching one of their own get attacked this way? I finally came to the conclusion that it would be a very small, although painful, moment in my long existence. I would leave it in the past and move on. By the way, the whole situation totally made me hungry. Fat, and not with a pH. Why do people need to comment? Did my supposed fat tell you how stupid you look in that color? Or how hard it is for me to listen to that ridiculous noise you call a laugh? No. My supposed fat sat right here in this little black dress, quietly drinking its margarita, waiting for the food it ordered. Oh, I bet you love that. Food. That's right. I said food. Food that might add to the fat you mentioned earlier when you drove your large steak knife into the tiny part of my heart that stores all of its self-confidence. But don't dare deprive me of it, because I will get angry. And a hungry, upset, so-called fat person isn't pretty coming at you in a dark parking lot in her car. I take a deep breath and realize that maybe you have the problem. Maybe you feel like you have to comment on my weight because you have your own worries. And suddenly, I want to share with you a brief bite of my tasty morsels instead of shoving your face in them. I heard someone say once that a world without men would be a bunch of fat, happy women with no crime. So come on. Let's pretend that there is no one to impress for a moment. Stop being catty. Grab a fork, share my little bit of tasty heaven, and bite by low-calorie bite. Take the world on tomorrow. OMG, I'm 30. I remember when I was 12 years old, my birthday wish was to be 30. It just seemed that all women I knew or looked up to always got cooler at 30. It's when the girl finally sits to the side and the woman gets to take over. It's when you're no longer afraid to have a real opinion on that, want more for yourself than just the okay for now guy, and can look at yourself and actually like what you see. On my 30th birthday, I felt like a new me, so free and ready to show what I was made of. I decided to spend my day paying homage to one of the greatest women we all know, Audrey Hepburn. I had a breakfast at Tiffany's lunch with my girlfriends, wore a tiara all day, and had the most fabulous party that left me dancing until 5 a.m. It was glorious. I challenge us all to make every birthday as wonderful as 30. Hold on to that I've arrived feeling. Spend your birthdays paying homage to your favorite female icons, and remember, every year we get better. Here are a few things I've been doing for myself in my 30th year. No matter what age you are, you might want to give these a try. Number one, every day look in the mirror and find 10 things you like. You must say them out loud. Number two, every night before bed, find 5 things you think are sexy about yourself. That's right, say those out loud too. Number three, sleep in sexy lingerie, not for him, but you. Sleep naked for him. And number four, and my favorite, take a bath every night with a tiara on. It really does make you feel like a queen. If you don't like these, come up with your own, but spend some time on yourself, and you'll like the results. Be polite. It's cellulite. It starts off gently. A reminder to have one less French fry. A friendly, subtle, hey there, you're no longer 16. A tiny, inconvenient, unimportant, barely noticeable, completely controllable bump. Misplaced cell or tissue, if you will. You don't even think to mention it over a girl's lunch because it'll be gone after a 45-minute session on the treadmill. But then you wake up 2 months later, after 150 hours on the treadmill, 2 weeks of sucking on ice, and 18 massages for that little cell misplaced tissue problem. Suddenly it hits you. It ain't a house guest. It's here to stay. Your bathing suits have skirts on them. Your once string bikini is now surf trunks and a rash guard. You suddenly are very sensitive to sunlight and can only tan alone and at home. Department stores have seen what lurks under your jeans and have invented shorts. Tight, skin-colored, cut-off-the-blood-supply shorts, meant to make you feel extremely secure when worn under your dresses and skinny jeans. Except you're getting no blood to your brain to make you feel secure, and now you waddle. They're so tight. You waddle over to the mirror, and you tell yourself one last time that it's only a matter of days before this nightmare ends. Let's stop the insanity. Thank you, Susan Powder. It is what it is. Be polite. It's cellulite. Lots of women have it. A lot, a little, surface, deep, butt, thighs, whatever. The only personal victory I had was finding out and seeing with my own eyes that models have it. Yeah, perfect people are just like us. Let's have a celly parade. Walk in bikinis and invite people to bring tomatoes to throw at our cottage cheese. And the shorts from those Einsteins at the Spanx company have saved our lives. They should have their own day. Spanx Day. Don't shoot the messenger. Now put on those shorts and learn to waddle. Worth. Women over relationships that hurt. Worth. The quality within a person that renders him or her worthy of respect. This is a struggle I personally deal with. Worth. How to feel worth it. To be worthy. When I was thinking of the word, it hit me. Maybe those of us who struggle with this concept need to form a club, a secret society of women who need to learn to feel worth it. And maybe we can do it by healing from the relationships that made us feel worthless. So we will form the Worth Club, Women Over Relationships That Hurt. Instead of constantly not feeling worthy and wondering why fulfillment is not found in new relationships, we will do inner work, which is really different for each person, to heal ourselves before moving into the next relationship. Here are a few steps that I think work. First, figure out who or what made you feel unworthy. Accept your part and what's not in your control, let go of. Second, get a book on self-esteem, serious or funny, and actually read it, probably more than once. Third, know that until you can believe that you are worthy of love from yourself, you can't and won't accept it from others. And when you feel that you are a truly worthy person, no relationship can actually break you. To join this club, just be honest with yourself. Ask the person in the mirror to help you feel worthy, and then do your inner work. I think you're worth it. The perfect date, batteries included. Oh, the days of steamy novels, daydreams, and endless satisfaction with our dream man. Remember when a rabbit was a cute, fluffy animal that taught you responsibility? Not anymore. Samantha and Sex and the City proved that a good vibrator is as important as a toothbrush. The rabbit is an extremely well-sold vibrator that the modern woman packs before her undergarments. Our dream man is even threatened by the relationship between a gal and her AA energizers. But here's the thing. Sometimes a girl wants a quick wham-bam thank you, ma'am, without all the perfume and fanfare, just like men and a Playboy centerfold. If she's single, it can keep her slutless and disease-free. If she's partnered, it can be used as a spice-up tool for even the most perfect relationships, and other times, it's just a way to express your naughty self without feeling like you need someone else for everything. Remember, and knows exactly what you need. Doesn't talk back, shuts off when you say so, doesn't want anything in return, and can't kiss and tell. For those of you who are modest, name that little sucker. And from now on, tell people you are having a hot night with Brad. Then go home, grab a glass of Cabernet, and turn him on. Wink, wink. Next quote. Women wish to be loved not because they are pretty or good, or well-bred, or graceful, or intelligent, but because they are themselves. Henri Frédéric Amiot. Fun little extras. 10 things to do before a date. 1, always buy a new top or dress. It will make you feel like $1 million. 2, spray tan is a must. 3, vajazzle it. Not for him, for you. 4, eat a little snack so you don't eat like a Discovery Channel animal. 5, listen to great music as you get ready. Go Beyonce. 6, get a professional blowout so you can do the slow-mo hair flip. 7, always get a mani-pedi. Trust me, men love this. 8, when you do last looks in the mirror, always check the back too. 9, remember, cleavage isn't cheap, it's gorgeous, show it off. 10, have a long conversation with yourself. This is not marriage, it's a first date. 10 things not to do before a date. 1, don't watch romantic comedies, it won't be that amazing. 2, don't try to check his criminal record online, wait till date number 4. Number 3, don't go slutty, guys do like girls with class. Number 4, don't get tipsy to calm nerves. Number 5, don't write Mrs. Blank over and over again on a piece of paper. Number 6, don't ask other girls except your BFFs how you look. Sorry, but they're gonna lie. Number 7, don't take a diuretic, you will pee all night long. Number 8, don't call 6 times to confirm, only once. That's just you afraid of getting stood up. Number 9, don't get on the scale, there isn't enough time to change it. Number 10, don't worry if he's 15 minutes late. 5 things he should say on a date. 1, you're hilarious. 2, you have beautiful eyes. 3, let's do this again sometime. 4, order what you want, dinner is on me. 5, your friends didn't do you justice in the beauty department. 5 things you should not say on a date. 1, I can see us spending the rest of our lives together. 2, you look thinner in your photo. 3, I love the way you chew. 4, my last boyfriend. And 5, I'm not so good at relationships. 10 hardcore truths about men. This information was not fun to learn, but once you know these things, it all gets easier to deal with. 1, men will always look. It's animalistic. They have to check out girls. 2, they don't always want to know what we're feeling. They do tune us out. Number 3, men don't love to spoon or cuddle. They'll do it, but they don't like it. 4, they don't have a type of woman. Guys who say, oh, she's not my type, are liars. A man's type is a woman who's willing. 5, they have to succeed in business and have to be supported in their dreams. Encourage him to become who he wants to be. He will love you for it. 6, men don't always want undying adoration. It puts pressure on them to keep up with the compliments. 7, they'll never give us exactly what we need in love, but a good one will try. Number 8, they will never understand our relationships with our moms. Two women, too scary. 9, they can't read our minds. We want them to, but they can't. 10, men don't believe in romance. It's not in their nature. They will learn it for you, but it's not something they believe in. What a man should know. How to pick a diamond. How to make breakfast. How to pick a great bottle of wine. How to talk to our grandmothers. How to win over our moms. How to read a map. At least 3 ways to save a life. To always have a coat for you. How to ask for directions. How to be okay with needing a woman. When to listen. When to just shut up and kiss you. What a woman should know. When not to be emotional. How to choose her battles. How to cook at least 10 different meals. How to throw a dinner party. When to break out the sexy lingerie. When to just listen. When not to be the good girl. When to just let him zone out on video games, his computer, or phone. How to pick up the bill without asking. It's okay, it's 2010. How to trust him. When to let him control the day or situation. When to just shut up and kiss him. What does love mean? A group of professional people posed these questions to a group of 4 to 8-year-olds. What does love mean? The answers they got were broader and deeper than anyone could have imagined. Rebecca, age 8. When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. Billy, age 4. When somebody loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth. Terry, age 4. Love is what makes you smile when you're tired. Bobby, age 7. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. Nika, age 6. If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend who you hate. Noelle, age 7. Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt and then he wears it every day. Tommy, age 6. Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they've known each other so well. Chris, age 7. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford. Karen, age 7. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. 25 things they haven't written about me in the press. 1, I collect miniature old books. 2, I love office supplies. They get me all hot and bothered. 3, I secretly want to be BFFs with LC, Lauren Conrad. 4, I'm really bad with computers. 5, I like margaritas with a splash of Sprite. 6, I love boxing just to watch. 7, I love to clean my house. 8, I'm crazy about classic cars. 9, I read my horoscope every day. 10, Journey is my favorite rock band. Met Steve Perry, almost passed out. 11, my favorite holiday is Christmas. 12, I love to have game nights with my friends. 13, cooking is my favorite thing to do. I make great cupcakes. 14, I love to sleep in boys' underwear, not just any boys. 15, I'm obsessed with using Purell hand sanitizer. 16, my mom and I actually do a happy dance when there's good news. 17, I have to wear a funny B-Day hat every year on my birthday. 18, I really want to have children one day. 19, my feelings do get hurt when they say mean things about me or people I care about in the press. Number 20, I'm afraid of big birds, not the yellow Sesame Street kind. 21, sour candies are my weakness. 22, I'm afraid of horror movies. I know I've been in some, but I still get scared. 23, I love to make scrapbooks. Just call me Martha. 24, I love monkeys. 25, I'm scared to speak in public. You should make up your own list. It's a fun exercise. So it comes to an end. It's only fitting that I end this book where I started. I'm back in Cabo, 4 years later, with a lot of water and romance under the bridge. So let's recap. I came here the first time with a broken heart, my girlfriends, and an idea for this book. Since then, I've dated a little, had a boyfriend, gotten engaged, had a fiancé, planned a wedding, had to say goodbye, and ended up not getting married. I'm still storing a wedding dress in my closet. Ouch. Grieved, turned 30, laughed, cried, and finally finished this book. Where am I now? Really happy. A happiness that feels real and long-lasting. A new set of the most amazing girlfriends. Lots of memories, and what do you know, a new boyfriend. I've learned a lot about relationships, love, and myself. I hope you too will find happiness and joy. What's next for me in this slightly wounded yet hopeful heart? I don't know. Neither do you, and that is what's truly beautiful.
This concludes The Day I Shot Cupid. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers. Or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.